When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Welcome to Black Girl Stuff. On Black Girl Stuff.
We playing spades.
We're dealing out laughter and playing your cards right with Desi Banks and Waka Flocka.
Y'all got secret moves? Y'all be doing some secret stuff?
We can't tell you that.
Lupus is a stress-related disease. So if it's 3 times higher in Black women, what does that mean?
Money Long is dropping gems and new music.
Well, the feedback is like, this is gonna be like the biggest wedding song.
If they don't respect him, I surely can't respect him.
We're going in the comments to talk about men's roles in their friend group.
Is something wrong with my self-esteem? If I'm respected, why wouldn't I want my partner to be?
So the truth of the matter is, I believe everybody has damage.
We're going beyond the pulpit with Pastor Mike Todd.
I stopped being grateful for certain things.
All that
and more
tonight on Black Girl Stuff.
Welcome to Black Girl Stuff. Now, there's been some talk about the roles men have in their friendship groups. And my girl, podcast host Kiki, says she's not respecting a man that is not respected by his friends. Let's take a look.
But I like to see, what role does the man I'm interested in play in his friend group? Mm. Is he in charge of the boys?
Mm.
Or is he the do boy?
Mm.
Is he the one who nobody ever listens to? How much respect do his friends have for him? Because if they don't respect him, I surely can't respect him.
Ooh. Ladies, does the role your man have in his friendship group matter to you?
I don't think the role matters for me. I think what matters for me is that my man is just always leading in some sense. Like, you know, I think it's important for men in their friendship groups to have some type of influence over the people they're around, and that influence should be positive. That's the way I look at it. But like your friend said, I don't know if I would, like, care if my man is whoever he is in his group, as long as he is who he is to me.
That's the I agree. Because, like, no, that's like you basing how other people treat your man and whether that's you basing your relationship off of how somebody else feels. I know a lot of men who drive cars for celebrities, and they still men.
Yeah.
Just because they drive in the car and they're the, whatever they called it, a do boy, does not mean that's still a man.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't devalue. What are
you, and if anything, I might get mad at your friend and be like, why are you talking to you like that?
Yeah.
I like that. Because, baby, what we got to do? Because, right. No.
I mean, I've heard, but, you know, she's not the only one that said that, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a lot of women, though, that are pretty delusional about what friendship groups should look like, men or women. Because I do feel like if you're in a friendship group and you know that you are the leader 100% in multiple aspects or nearly all aspects, I think you're in the wrong group. I feel like you're at a situation that you're limiting yourself because you're around people that you know are only learning from you, but you can't learn from them.
Mm.
And that means your man, if he's a true leader, he should not be in charge fully on every aspect in a friendship group.
And sometimes the leader ain't the leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They be the blind leading the blind.
For me, I think it's more so about a respect thing. I can't say that my man has to be the leader in the group, but I definitely only want to be with a man that is respected by other men.
Mm-hmm.
I want, no matter what group or setting that I'm in, when people see my man, they respect him.
Because
that's just like a security thing for me as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's so many different, like you said, roles that you can play any given time. You might be the leader in finance, but your homeboy might be the leader because he's married.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he can teach you more about relationships. Like you said, I think a friendship group has to be everybody can take the lead in their perspective or different areas.
Where their strengths are.
Are there any type of roles that you wouldn't date?
The lazy friend.
Yeah.
Because what I'm going to do with you?
Right.
What are we going to do? I got to keep telling you. I got to keep motivating you to get up. No, I'm not doing that.
I can't do the butt of the joke, friend. Like, if they always making fun of you, they always joking on you, they always clowning you, it's like, nah, they don't respect you.
For me, it's the cheating friend. Like, if you the friend that's always cheating, keep your ass away from
that friend that always got the hoes.
Always got, bro, where the hoes at? I got you, bro.
No.
Stay over there.
My man not finna be the one fishing hoes for y'all.
Absolutely not.
For me, it's the guy who doesn't have ideas. I think for me, if a man can't really showcase, even if it's as little as, this is where I think we should go tonight. Mm. You know, have some level of ideas, some level of proactiveness about you and your friends. That's the type of man that I'm about. If you don't have any ideas, you definitely don't have an idea for me.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever felt like the role that the guy plays depicts or has any representation about you as the woman?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Most of the guys that I've dated, when I was around their friend, I realized they were the one that were kind of holding the group together. Like, a lot of my exes were the community organizers in some sense. Again, the idea. But it's not only just to say, hey, we should all do this or all do that. They always galvanize at his place. Or they always seem to, like, you know, call him for something in order to really, like, you know, motivate the group in some sense. And so I realized in terms of what that showed me is not necessarily that's exactly who I am, but I felt like that meant, for me, I like that in a person. I like a person that can really bring people together and keep people together.
I think your partner is a reflection of you, naturally. I feel like when you spend time with somebody and you share your energy with them, they should be a reflection of you. So naturally, yeah, I mean, I try to involve myself with people that have something going on because I'm trying to always have something going on. So, yeah, I think it's just kind of natural to have a partner that matches your energy.
Yeah, in my 20s, I was dating a guy and a lot of men didn't respect him. Like, he was cool, they rocked with him, but they didn't respect him as a man. And so another one of my male colleagues that I worked with, he kind of pulled me to the side and he was like, do you realize what that says about you as a woman? And I was like, what? He was like, that kind of says that you are comfortable with dating down because you're a woman that a lot of people respect. And for you to step out with a guy that people don't really respect like that, it looks like you are comfortable with dating down or you're or less than. And so it's almost like, what do you think about yourself?
Yeah.
And it really, like, was like, ooh.
But see, the only thing I don't like about that is your worth being defined by someone else's worth. It's almost like a little bit of a disrespect. It's like, maybe this person hasn't reached their full potential that you've met yet. Maybe you are there to help them. Maybe they'll see you in a light that says, like, oh my God, Bree is doing this, and she's this is motivating me. Let me find out how I can add to myself so that maybe she'll see me in that light. So that's why I kind of feel like, cool, bro. Thanks for seeing, you know, noticing something. But at the same time, it's like that shouldn't have meant so much to you because you are who you are and you could have been teaching that person something through your life.
So. I ain't gonna lie, it did hurt my feelings. It was like, dang, well, why I don't look at, you know, is something wrong with my self-esteem? Because why would I date somebody that, if I'm respected, why wouldn't I want my partner to be respected?
Depends on the group. I don't know if you're the same person or seen as the same way in every room that you're in. You know, some things, some common qualities, that's just who you are, right? But there's certain situations, I think if you are a person that's open to evolving, et cetera, if you're around a certain group or around a certain things, there are other things that they're bringing out of you that another group wouldn't. So maybe that guy, or I could say specifically for the men that I dated too, like, it's not like they are seen the same way in every friend group, in every room, and I like that. I like that you're not a one-trick wonder type of thing. Like, you're able to shape-shift. Maybe there was a lot of rooms that he wasn't respected in, but, you know, maybe not all of them. Maybe it was just a testimony to say he needs new friends or he needs to be a lone wolf for a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, what else say is this. If you look at nature and the wolf pack, for instance, so the way the wolf pack is set up basically is it's a group of wolves. I don't know how many exactly, but in the front of the line of the wolves are the weakest or maybe the hurt wolves or, you know, the oldest wolves that are in the front. And in the middle of the pack are the soldiers, the strong ones, the ones that can fight, attack if something happens to the front of the line. And then at the end, you have the lone wolf, which is the strongest.
Mm, okay.
He's not in the front. That speaks a lot about his value to the group. Mm. He is watching the group. He is protecting the group. Ooh. He's leading from not the front, the back, because he's paying attention to every angle. So I think that when you correlate that to what we're talking about as far as men having roles in their friend groups, I kind of want the wolf in the back. Yeah. I want the lone wolf that's just paying attention. He's not trying to overpower anyone. He's just really hyper-focused on his group. So.
And on that note, up next, Money Long is in the BGS house, and we won't keep you waiting for hours and hours. So keep it locked. You're watching more Black Girl Stuff.
Masculine player rules that every man needs to set with their group of friends. Number one, no clowning each other in front of women. When you guys are clowning each other, women view that as you guys not respecting each other. And if y'all can't respect each other, they won't be able to respect you.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When we finish, take a shower. I could do this for hours and hours and hours. I could do this for hours and hours and hours.
Okay. Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Please welcome singer, songwriter, and Grammy award-winning artist Money Long to the BGS house.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Congratulations on your Grammy win. That is a big deal, especially for a beautiful black queen like yourself. Mm-hmm. You have a new album that you just, well, new music that you just released. So can you tell us about, like, what that single means for you?
I'm a lover girl. So, you know, I don't want to fight. I just like cuddles. Of course, you know, I present sometimes very, I want to say, not masculine. Like, I don't like to be super soft and I don't want nobody to see me crying. Yeah, but it's almost like, you know, I hold in my emotion a lot of the times as a real, you know, human being on the outside in front of people. So I put a lot of emotion into my music. And so Made For Me is another love song. And I'm hearing, you know, a lot of people, the feedback is like, this is going to be like the biggest wedding song.
Aww.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about just seeing how people use it in their lives.
That's dope. Well, let's take it back then, because in 2008, at your first Hollywood party, I remember you were saying something about you feeling like you didn't belong there. Do you feel that way now? Do you still feel like you don't belong in Hollywood?
So when I was first introduced to the business and the entertainment industry, I literally was coming from like the dirt road country where some places still don't have a stoplight.
Wow.
And there's dirt, literally like pavement and then dirt road.
Wow.
So to see all these people that I grew up watching on TV, just standing right there,
yeah,
it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah, I'm sure.
and then, you know, I'm just there in my freaking H&M jacket. Like, you know, I just couldn't believe that I made it from my mom's house to this, like, huge Hollywood party. And so, funny enough, Tank was at this particular party that I'm thinking about. And I said it out loud. I was like, I don't feel like I'm supposed to be here. And him and Jay Valentine were, you know, goofing around like they always do. And he stopped. He was like, no, you are supposed to be everywhere you are.
Yes.
And I didn't understand what he meant by that. I was like, okay. But now it's just like, okay, you know, life is going to unfold for you in a certain way based on the choices, you know, that you make and the energy that you're putting out. And everything that's happening to me at this point in life, I understand that in some way I have pulled it, magnetized it towards me. Good or bad, right? Because those are just labels we put on things, but nothing is ever really good or bad. It's just like according to your situation. So absolutely not. I do not feel any type of imposter syndrome.
Oh, nice.
I worked really hard for everything I had.
Facts.
And I deserve it.
What happened, though? Like, what was the trigger, that point where you said, okay, now I really feel like I belong? Because, you know, being a songwriter versus being someone known for their music in person and being more in that, you know, front forward face is totally different. Was hours and hours that moment, or you felt it beforehand?
I had to get there before hours. I would say that when you are, you know, a lot of people know me from, like, when I was on YouTube in 2006, I started posting videos of me singing. So I had about 10 years of just, like, grinding, trying to figure out who I am, what I want to do, but also I had to eat. So I'm writing songs for other people. That's the only reason why I did it, and so that I could have income but still be in music.
Okay.
I made a, you know,
a nice little chunk of change, and I decided I'm going to invest that in, back into my career. If I really want to do this, if I want to be an artist, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. And I think that is what did it. And when you're paying for everything, and, you know, I'm literally picking out, here's the hair, here's the makeup, here's what I want to wear. I want to work with that director. How much is it? Okay, cool. Wire the funds. Staying up till 4 a.m, writing the treatments myself, directing the videos. If I had dancers or a cast, I'm steaming their outfits myself. So doing that and realizing, like, I really built this. I put this together. It just gives you a different, like, attitude and feel. Like, how dare you come here and try to tell me anything?
Yeah.
Because what are you doing?
Now, you and your husband are both songwriters. And I just want to know, like, with y'all having your own individual dreams, like, how have y'all been able to cultivate a still a healthy marriage while chasing your dreams?
First of all, anybody who's been in any sort of business partnership knows that it's not easy to be in partnership with somebody else. And I think it's not just about, oh, I love you, you love me so much. It's like, no, we have to protect what we're building. We can't allow anyone to come in and infiltrate, you know, and you got eyes, you got big eyes looking every which way. You know what I'm saying? That's inviting drama and trouble. And I think, like, you have to have such a strong foundation built on goals for where you see yourself going. And this person is your helper in helping you do that. It's not, and then, like, you know, the romantic part and the sex and the, you know, that intimacy is a bonus that you have. It's like almost like incentive for when the rest of it is right. And I think people have it flip-flop.
For sure.
It's like, well, you made me mad. We're not, I'm not touching you. We're not kissing. Like, you can't even get the little, you know, that's like trivial stuff. You can't even get that right. So imagine trying to do $1 million deal with that person.
And business still got to go
Because that's what it is. It's like, it's not just like we have a store together. There's life insurance. There's, you know, trusts. Like, all these things that you're supposed to be able to use, you know, in your relationship with your partner to help build generational wealth.
I'm going to take it in a different direction because you were diagnosed with lupus, and we know that lupus is 3 times more likely to develop in Black women than white women. What are some of your obstacles that you faced in your journey as a Black woman dealing with lupus?
Well, let me just say that statistic, I mean, we really need to think about what that means, right? Lupus is a stress-related disease.
Wow.
So if it's 3 times higher in Black women, what does that mean?
We more stress. We 3 times more stress.
So, you know, there can be times, and it's a silent, invisible struggle because you can't see it. You know, you wake up in the morning and you look just fine, but you really feel like you got ran over by a train. And I had to start learning not to let people piss me off. You know, I would rather you be upset than me, you be uncomfortable than me. And I used to be very much a people pleaser and, you know, like, how can I help? Is there anything you need? Oh, take the shirt off my back. Absolutely not. Not anymore. You know, I think certain things are placed in your life and in your story to help you make better choices and have experiences to, like, show you what you don't want so that you can go, you know, get what you do. And I think for me, there's lots of different things that I've experienced with this, you know, diagnosis. Is like everything from hair loss to like skin rashes, and you know, being in this business is very
physical,
you know, vainglorious.
Sometimes.
And so like that affects my output so much. It's like when I feel good, I look good, I produce well. When I feel like crap and I gotta go out and, you know, even something as small as somebody touching my arm hurts, you know, and it, but I got to smile and I got to, you know, talk to people when I don't feel like talking. And so learning how to balance, just like I do a lot of meditation, I do a lot of, you know, renewing of my mind, literally brainwashing myself with literature, self-help books, the word, so many things to just be able to go out into the world and not cause further irritation. And I would just say, like, Black women, we gotta really learn how to just be, you know? It's okay for us to just relax.
But how do you communicate that to other people? Because other people sometimes can stress you out, as you mentioned.
You know what? It's about setting boundaries and not bending. So, like, I don't explain myself. I just say, this is what I need. And I don't let anybody push back.
That's it.
So it's like, if I just want to lay in the bed all day, I don't care if I'm not doing anything except for eating, you know, popcorn and drinking my sweet tea. Someone calls me with work, I either don't answer or I just let it be known, like, oh, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. That'll have to wait until, you know, Wednesday or whatever. And that's also about, like, keeping your word to yourself. Like, we want to be seen as valuable and worthy. And so if someone calls us and asks us for something, even if it puts us out, you know, or causes us inconvenience, we want to do it so that we can, like, show, like, I'm useful. But at the end of the day, if they wasn't going to call you, they was going to call somebody else.
That's it. Right. They going to call somebody else.
Yeah, I know. Girl, you done good punch me with that word. Thank you so much, Money Long, for stopping by the BGS house, y'all. Make sure you check out her latest hit song, Made For Me. And up next, we got Desi Banks and Waka Flocka. They giving us the cheat code to playing spades. Straight ahead on Black Girl Stuff.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
this is ludicrous.
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludicrous.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
I'm Desi Banks, and I'm with my dog, the OG, the one and only, the Mr. Ole Doué.
Fucker, y'all know what the fuck it is.
We playing spades.
Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Now, shit gets real when we talk about this staple in a black community. We got Waka Flocka and Desi Banks in the building, dealing out laughter and books in their brand new podcast, We Playing Spades. Hey, y'all.
Hey,
welcome to the Black Girl House.
It's Black Girl House. I can feel it.
You feel it.
It's the leather.
Now, Desi, you are known for comedy, and Waka, obviously everybody knows you from your hits and music, but what made y'all join together to collaborate on a podcast and then about spades and that?
It's Desi Banks, right? And I feel like with me, I think people will see me of who I am in Desi and be like, what the fuck are they talking about? And then in spades, I think for everybody household, I try to think of something that we all could connect with. Okay. And I think something that'll bring us back to being a kid. So when you're a kid, you feel love again. So the spades is everything. So at the spades table, everybody popping, talking, and laughing. So we could pop, talk, but how can I laugh? That's what Desi can.
I'm talking to all of them, spanking, whoopings, all that. From your cousin to your auntie, sisters, anybody. Okay. Don't care who it is. If you can't play, that's your fault. Don't come to the table.
Are y'all undefeated?
For sure.
No. Y'all done lost the game with
relax.
Two.
Relax. We like to be nice sometimes.
Yeah,
Waka, you are an early influencer of trap music, and you've ventured in so many new industries, like kind of leaving your musical roots behind. Yeah. You're into real estate, and you've been talking recently about going back to school. Can you tell us why you're kind of like putting your musical roots on the back burner for now?
Honestly, go ahead, truth. Like, I'm going to tell my moms, right? I was like, look, Ma, take the front end of the money because the back, I'm finna blow it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I just want to have fun. And plus, I just felt like a I ain't have no future. I messed up in basketball. I was gangbanging, selling drugs, robbing people. I felt like it was just over with. I'm gonna be 100 with you. I really felt like it was over with. So when I got the opportunity to meet an artist or somebody inspiring to be an artist, the first thing I thought about is like, yo, if I could make him look richer, that's my ticket out the hood. Mm-hmm. So I just start grabbing bags, everything. I even grabbed a microphone, became a hype man. So for me, it's just like, whatever I can do not to go back to the streets, I ain't doing it because I was in them. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the kind of person that gets some money and want to hang around street people. Mm-hmm. That's corny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what really like made me just want to, I just want to be a man. I want to be the man I didn't grow up around and see.
Right.
Just so people around me can see that because you are who you are. Mm-hmm. But to grow and actually be something different or something that people could never believe you to be, it's not for me to say, ha ha, I told you. It's basically me doing that to let you know, like, yo, this shit possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, though, that I feel like are in the industry, you know, and like you said, they make it out, they get that ticket out, and yet they still feel the need to to go back to the hood or be around it, maybe make a quick hit and then just be back in the streets? Like, why do you think that is? Why do you think some people can't fully let it go?
What I experienced is 9 times out of 10, all of us, we got the mind of a broke NIG, but the swag of a rich NIG. Mm. So no matter how much money you got, your mentality is still broken. So that's what I see with my eyes. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, well, Desi, you have a production company, the Desi Banks Productions, and not only has your platform been able for you to create different, you know, skits and, you know, explore all your creative endeavors, but now you're helping other creatives. Yes. Tell me about how you're shaping the future of entertainment through your company.
I would just say first, man, I'm inspired by people like Kevin Hart, Tyler Perry, you know, them having their own production company. But yes, that's something that I always wanted to do. You know, I always wanted to build my own before somebody else gave it to me. You know, when you're going through this, man, trying to be an actor or a comedian, you know what I'm saying? You may not get it at first. So I felt like I'm going to invest in myself. I'm going to show people that I can do it already, you know what I'm saying? Before I got web series out right now, short films out right now, that's going to be turned into feature films and different episodic shows, you know, just waiting on those, you know, opportunities to come. But we already got it, you know, ready. But yes, I also wanted to put people on. A lot of people that's been in my short films, I put in there, you know what I'm saying, because I saw the talent, you know, and I wanted to be able to, you know, I know how it is when it comes to, you know, quote-unquote Hollywood, man, it take time, you know what I'm saying, but if I can do it first, you know what I'm saying, I want to be able to do it and help people, you know what I'm saying, so that's what I want to do. I want to be able to continue to grow and be able to be that person for our new generation, because we're going to need it.
Since y'all play space with each other, what kind of romantic partner do you think your space partner needs?
Well, I would say for Walker, man needs somebody that understand him. work hard. Please be there for him. Massage his neck, his back. Do the right things for him. Listen to him.
Okay.
Especially if you're on that table, look at his eyes. Watch what he tell you through his eyes. You know, you got to understand. Like, please. Because if you don't, you might snap. Okay. You're going to be upset. If you know, he need that. Understanding is perfect for him. Yeah. Please understand.
Okay, well, who does he need?
First of all, she gotta have personality. Okay. And if she don't watch movies, you ain't dating her. But if you don't like Richard Pryor, Bernie Mac, Eddie Murphy,
Martin.
Yeah. Like, bro, if you don't know them folks, you gotta get with it. But then on the same time, he need a woman that schedules.
For sure.
Like if Desi had a woman that actually woke up with schedule, he'd be way even wrong.
What schedule?
He's structured.
Like a
woman that got like structure. Okay. Yeah, that's all. Like real, like on some military shit.
Okay.
But in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who would your dream space matchup be, dead or alive?
Michael Jackson.
I love Michael Jackson too.
No, walk away from
the
Come on, Desi. Come on now. Don't do like that. Come on. It's gonna be all right, Desi.
I would like to play with DMX.
You just went.
Because you know you have a function.
Nah,
he gonna be drinking, yelling.
He might start rapping for no reason.
I think
well,
it's
my dog.
And then you gonna get a prayer at the end.
Nah, for sure. Yeah. Good prayer.
Yeah,
good
prayer.
Yeah. I grew up off DMX.
Rest in peace, DMX, and Michael too.
Right. Those are good, unexpected answers. But you know, space is all about strategy, right? You know?
Yeah.
So what space strategy have y'all taken from the game and applied it to your real life?
Focus. I would say focus.
Space showed me body language.
Yeah.
Like, me and my brothers, I promise to God, like, space locked me and my brothers in close. I remember me and my brother, Wu. He like my twin brother. He a year older than me. He like the best friend I always wanted but didn't want to be my friend. Right? I used to fight all his friends, all that. But I remember us like playing spades with people and we leave at night walking home. We'd be happy as like just happy.
Bring it together.
But we'd be looking at each other on the game like, no, like, so you start learning like it's crazy.
Yeah,
body language for sure.
That's bad because you two communicate a lot with body language.
Teach you how to compete.
Movies.
Y'all got secret moves. Y'all be doing some secret stuff.
Hey, we can't tell you that. Now you're asking too much.
Desi and Walker, thank you so much for cracking us up in the BGS house. Make sure y'all check out their new podcast, We Playin' Spades, on Wondery Plus, and we'll be available on Amazon Music and all podcast services. Up next, we're going to church with Pastor Todd. Keep it locked for more Black Girl Stuff.
Amen.
told you, I got
you. How many people are you expecting? But this is scary. Like, okay, if this really happened in real life, would you die for me?
Well, would I die for you?
Would you die for me in real life? Yeah. Dead. For me. Yeah. Okay. Can you turn that light off?
And Kai, pick a boo. That's
all she was in jail.
We're all damaged. Under the name brands, the makeup, the degrees, the success, the titles, and even the credit, I found everybody still has cracks.
Oh, did he just read us? Okay, welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Our next guest is transforming souls and taking social media by storm with his viral sermons. Let's give a warm BGS welcome to Pastor Mike Todd.
What's
welcome.
Going on, everybody? Hey. This is awesome to be here with strong sisters, yes. And we are about to talk about all the stuff, so yes. I'm ready. Let's go. Yes.
Okay, Pastor Mike, let's talk about your new book, Damaged But Not Destroyed, From Trauma to Triumph. Can you tell us a time where you felt damaged?
So the truth of the matter is, I believe everybody has damage. The truth of the matter is most people try to hide it. Mm-hmm. They try to run from it. And, you know, people may think they know when my damage started, but my damage started when I was young. My damage started when I was trying to be something and they wouldn't recognize who I was. And so a lot of times our trauma comes from a place that was legitimate. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I wanted to play the drums in my church and they never let me play. Oh, wow. And when they didn't let me play, I made a decision right there. I'll never be good at anything. I'll only be great. Mm. And what ended up happening in that moment, I made a decision that nothing in my life could be good. Everything had to be great. Mm. Well, that served me to a season. And it got me to a place, but then it started not working no more.
Of course.
I stopped enjoying what I was given. I stopped being grateful for certain things. Mm-hmm. And I believe a lot of people right now, how they've been living and what they've been showing all of us, it don't work when they go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look good on the gram and you're getting flown out to places and everybody's thinking you're making it happen, but you still feel the void when mm-hmm. you're getting in the shower and taking off all the makeup and mm-hmm. taking off all of the jewelry. And I just wanted to help people actually heal, like not fake yeah. it. Mm-hmm. I want to let people know that there's value still in you. Yeah. Without everything else mm-hmm. you think you gotta have, that you can actually take all of your damage and it cannot just turn into something good. It can push you to destiny.
Okay, so you're saying that people are operating from not a healed place. Do you feel like you're fully healed?
Well, I say it like this. If anybody says they're healed, I get scared.
Me too.
I say that I'm healing.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. I believe that some of the things that have happened to us in our life, from childhood to adolescence to adulthood to out here adulting, mm-hmm. like that stuff is traumatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that a lot of people aren't dealing with their issues. I think they're trying to suppress them through things they think will help them feel better.
Mm-hmm. Temporary fixes.
Temporary mm-hmm. fixes. And I really believe that the only way to live a life that is actually full of fulfillment is to actually deal with your issues. I say it like this in the book. What's not transformed is transferred.
Ooh.
And so if you don't start working on the things that you know are really there, yeah. we all know you angry.
Yeah.
We all know you cut people off real quick. Mm-hmm. We all know, but you don't actually start working on it, it then begins to transfer to the people you love the most.
Yes. Yes. That's and like true. You said, if you alive, you still living, you should be growing. Because yes. if you're not growing, motion. Then you're dying.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. All right, now, Pastor Todd, you're known infamously for two things. One, rubbing spit in a member's face, and two, your Easter service called Ransom.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what are your thoughts for folks that are saying that your sermons are disrespectful and blasphemous?
So the first thing that I would say is I'm sorry that you feel that way. a lot of the things that I do, I'm trying to reach the person that's farthest from faith. And a lot of times, I don't know about y'all, if y'all ever went to church when you were young, it was boring.
Facts.
Like, can we just be honest? Like, let's like, when is this going to be over?
Yeah.
Where are we going to eat? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to be a pastor. I never tried to do this. I didn't want to, but I felt a calling, a purpose to go and help people and inspire their faith. And so what ended up happening was I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to really try to reach the person who don't care at all, because that was me. Mm. And so in that attempt, sometimes you go extreme and sometimes like, that might have been a little too far. But how do you know where the edge is if you don't try some things? Okay. And so for me, the heart intent has always been pure, to help people have hope, to let them find love and let them to know that the value is still in them. And so I think as long as I'm gonna be living, I'm gonna be trying to reach the person that's farthest away. I was addicted to pornography. I was jacked up. I was a liar. I was a manipulator. I was all these kind of things. And it was my faith that brought me into a place that didn't make me a perfect man, but made me a progressing man.
Okay.
Now I've been married 14 years. I have 4 kids. I've been faithful all 14 years. It's just like, all of this stuff has changed my life. Mm-hmm. And I know there's somebody out there that needs somebody to actually come after them.
Yeah.
And for me, that's me. And so for anybody that feels like it's a little too much, my bad. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, the heart intention of it is pure. And I really want people to find faith, hope, and love.
You apologize for the whole spit incident.
Yeah.
But, like, for me personally, I know it's kind of distracting to see that type of... that type of energy in the church.
That.
And even though you said that, like, you know, traditional church may have been boring for some people, I did come from a traditional church, and I know the seriousness that the traditional church provides. So I feel like just for me watching some of your sermons, I'm like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it comes off as a distraction. What is that for you?
For some people, it comes off as a distraction.
Okay.
But those same people go to the movies.
Okay.
And those same people watch Netflix.
Mm.
And so what I'm saying is, for me, I try not to be a distraction. I try to help people get it.
Okay.
And so sometimes when you're helping people get something, the truth of the matter is I'm being real. I'm painting what real life is like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I used to go to the club, wasn't nobody saying I was a distraction.
Yeah.
When I was out sneaking and sleeping and stealing people's girls and stuff, nobody was like, you're a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
But I really was then. When I try to paint that picture of what people are really dealing with in everyday life, and because it's in the church, I think that's where we need to talk about stuff.
I was gonna say, for me, what also, like, I think steered me away from church is we up there some, well, pastors sometimes are up there hooting and hollering and you throwing the book at me. But like you said, I have no way to apply this to my real life.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like you said, because if you're not used to it and you see something, it's like, okay, this is a lot going on. Why he not just standing up here behind the pulpit hooting and hollering? You know what I mean? But I think that I can respect it. Like, oh, okay. And I was introduced to you from one of these sermons and I was like, okay, this is different, but at least I can understand it in a way where I can apply it right now when I leave.
Yeah, that's again my goal, because I sat in church all my life and I didn't know how in the world I was supposed to take this and live with it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, we just wasted 2 hours and we dressed up and like, all right, now it's time to go. When I felt like God called me into ministry, it was to actually allow people to walk away with a tangible principle that they could apply on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
I preach on Sunday, not for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I preach on Sunday from Monday through Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want people to be in an argument and be like, hold on, I don't need to let this foul communication come out of my mouth. I'm about to cuss you all the way out, but you better be glad I watched that sermon yesterday. I'm still mad at you. I'm about to go to counseling. But like, and maybe just that pause maybe would save a relationship.
Right.
And for me, I just say, like, the proof is in the fruit. We've had countless people. For all the people that said this is a distraction, there's been thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that was like, I would have never come to God if somebody wouldn't have said it like you said it. I'm talking about real stuff, God's perspective on it, and my experience about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I got out here and start saying some crazy stuff, and I was a rapper, everybody be like, oh, he cold. But because I'm a pastor,
it's
like, that's too much. Right. Like, it's like, hold on.
Well, now that you explain it that way, it just puts a new perspective on it.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
I appreciate you.
But
I'll calm down. No, I'm going to tell you what service to watch, and then I'm going to calm down.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Todd, for joining us in the BGS
My
house.
Pleasure.
His new book is called Damaged But Not Destroyed, From Trauma to Triumph. Up next, we're bringing you The Vibes with a live performance from Nav Green. Stay tuned for more Black Girl stuff.
When I've ever done things that were outside of the will of God or a little controversial, people around me move. People don't want to be associated. Do not put people's reaction on God's reputation.
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag
did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
They say in Colorado, the hookah business is on the rise. Hookahs, vape pens. Women are going out there to Colorado now. After one game.
Welcome back to Black Girl Stuff. Tonight, it's all about the vibes, where we present artists on the rise. Here to give us nothing but laughs, please give it up for comedian Nav Green.
Appreciate y'all having me. Appreciate y'all having me. I've been vegan for about 30 minutes now. I had a little scare. I was in the mall the other day. Somebody said, excuse me, auntie. I said, I know I ain't got that bad built. Somebody confused me as an auntie. I said, man, I'm a thug, I'll kill you in here. I just got hips like my mama. I can't help that. But it made me realize we gotta start taking life serious, because life's short. We never know when it's our time to go. So we gotta start eating healthy, exercise if we can. You never know when it's your time to go. So that's why I send positive messages when I wake up. Cause I had a scare. Cause when people die, what they do, they put up their last picture with you. Or they last text message thread. That's what they do. They go straight to IG. As soon as you die, they go to the picture. Man, he gone already. But that's what let me know I got to get my life ready in case I die. Because the last text message I sent was to a female that said, please let me taste it.
What?
I don't want that to be the last memory of me. I got two daughters.
Oh my God.
And then I spelled please with like five E's. I was like, please let me taste it. My daughter be like, damn, daddy was thirsty before he died. So now I send positive messages when I wake up. Anything you believe you can achieve. She said, what are you talking about? I said, that's in case I die. Please let me taste it. Delete that one. A lot of women be saying men lie. I think women lie too. They just be more sophisticated with their lies. I was talking to this one female. I said, where you work at? She said, I work at the airport. So I said, I'm thinking I got a flight attendant. She work at the Popeyes at the airport. Them two different jobs. I'm thinking I got a female whip wing, not a female that cook wings. She said, I brought you something. Girl, I'm... Well, I do want the chicken. Right. Is it spicy or mild? So, yeah, we done been together 2 years now. Can't pass up that Popeyes, man. You can't pass up that Popeyes. Fellas, we got to start being honest. We got to start being faithful. These females are detectives. I don't know how they do it, but they going to find out. My baby mama keep going through my phone. Keep catching me. She talking about, why won't you stop? I'm like, why won't you stop? So I done got smart. Listen. Now, so to keep the peace, I just master reset my phone every night.
Okay. Yeah.
Every morning I wake up, it say, welcome to iPhone. Like, we just gonna start from scratch. I be picking different languages. I picked Spanish this morning. K Pasa, it's Nav. Please let me taste it. Hey, man, that's my time. I'm Nav Green. Thank y'all for having me.
That was amazing.
Is this vegan?
Nav, listen. We know that you're a comedian, but you're also a sports commentator as well. Can you tell us more about your new show that you have commentating?
I watch sports a lot, and I felt like I didn't play the game to a high level, but I still could commentate on it because everybody else do it.
Shout out to Broken Play.
Shout out to Broken Play, man.
So what made you want to become a sports commentator?
Just my love for the game, even though I ain't play. Like, I'm talking like... I'm talking like I was Coach Prime or something. But just watching the game and then, giving honest feedback. Like, if the Falcons done made you mad, you're not going to say... Well, they had a bad game. No. Y'all need to step it up.
Yeah.
Fire the kickers.
Well, that's dope. Well, congratulations on your show and all the things that you're doing. Cheers.
Yeah,
and man. More Speak commentary it. Play. Cheers.
Shout out to y'all, man. Black Girl Stuff.
Okay. All right, y'all. That's all the show we have for now. Special thanks to all of tonight's guests, Pastor Mike Todd, Money Long, Desi Banks, Waka Flocka Flame, and Nav Green. Catch us next week for more Black Girl Stuff. Good night, everybody.
needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.